there is an appropriate place for me to put my confidence, and that is in the Lord, in His strength to break down strongholds and every high thing that's going to exalt itself against Him, that I can take every thought and every action captive to Christ, that I can do that through Him only, not through myself. And so this balance again between self-confidence and confidence in God, I think is really evident. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. I don't know about you, but I struggle with remembering the promises and warnings of Scripture when my life becomes chaotic or stressful. The book of Psalms has brought me back to my relationship with the Lord time and time again. I hope that as we study today, you'll find the treasures of the book of Psalms. Let's get started. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, confidence, for the weapons we fight with are not carnal, but mighty in God for casting down arguments, breaking down strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, yeah. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. To me, that's a confidence in God that I have weaponry and that through the Holy Spirit, I have the ability to take even my thoughts captive, not even just my actions, but my thoughts that lead my actions. That's a real confidence booster for me, because I know that by my own hand, those things are, my actions and my thoughts are a mess. But 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 tells me I'm not fighting with the weapons of this world.
You know, another thing I like about what you just read, he's making it clear that these weapons that he fights with are superior to yours.
Amen.
That's no contest. Like, I don't have to fight with you because you're fighting with earthly weapons.
Yep.
I've got weapons.
Yeah.
You know, that can demolish all of it.
Amen.
So how do you not have confidence when you read?
Yeah. Confidence in him.
Right.
And what I love about that one is it does juxtapose the confidence that I might have one time had in myself, and then it shows me that confidence in self is completely misplaced, but there is an appropriate place for me to put my confidence, and that is in the Lord, in His strength to break down strongholds and every high thing that's going to exalt itself against Him, that I can take every thought and every action captive to Christ, that I can do that through Him only, not through myself. And so this balance again between self-confidence and confidence in God, I think is really evident in 2 Corinthians 10:3-4. What other scriptures did you guys put there?
I wrote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And we talked a little bit about not thinking so much about eternity, but I do try to think of things in the eternal context. It does help my perspective.
Yeah.
Things aren't so important in the eternal scheme of things. And one of our favorite sayings at home is, God is still in control. And He's in control of my destiny because I've put my faith in Him. I believe in Him. And no matter what, I know where my eternity is. Yeah. It's with Him.
Yeah.
And that just gives me so much confidence, comfort, reassurance.
Yeah.
On those days when the evil one starts saying, well, how do you know you're really going to heaven? You know, because there's all these rules that you've broken and there's all these other things. And, you know, there are passages that say, depart from me, I never knew you. But Lord, we cast out demons in your name. I go back to the basic. Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, the enemy, I thought I saw something on social media. The enemy reminds you of your sins, but God reminds you of Himself, or something like this, like what you're saying. You know, the enemy's constantly in your ear saying, look how you messed up. Look how you're not worthy. You're not. And God reminds you of Himself. He whispers His own glory in your ear, and He says, I am able, I am worthy. Yeah. In eternity. Thank you for bringing that one up. Why do we not talk about that one more often? We're so jaded. John 3:16.
Because it's at every football game.
Yeah. Well, good. Should be.
Yeah, but people don't realize.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. God bless that man who's holding that poster up. How about you girls? What else do you have in the other areas of the Bible and confidence? I have one more. Do you have any more? I'll share my last one. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us a spirit of not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, or some translations say a sound mind. Because I listed this one with respect to confidence in God, because I often quote that scripture because of the list, not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But today I focused on the giver that creates that confidence. God gave us. So we kind of maybe don't emphasize that when we claim that scripture. God gave us did not give us a spirit of fear. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind or self-control. And today I just thought, oh, confidence in the giver. That's not really up to me to maintain fearlessness and power and love and self-control and a sound mind. It's up to him. I can have confidence in the giver, the author of those things. So to me, that was one that, I don't know, just came to mind, maybe a little counterintuitively, because we do use that so much to help with the everyday anxieties of life. And I just wanted to focus on confidence in the giver of those gifts. So thank you, Lord, for that. Okay, last page, we'll bang it out. Were there any other themes from the Psalms reading plan that you found meaningful? You can throw those out. Any other scriptures that you think relate to the passages you've chosen? And then we're going to talk about our elevator speech. So let's just popcorn around the last page of homework and tell me what you feel strongly about sharing, if anything. And if not, we'll do our elevator pitch.
One of the topics listed in the 30 days was peace. And I went back to, you know, probably the best known Psalm, Psalm 23. Mm. And Psalm 23:3 says, well, it's talking about the Lord as our shepherd, and the Lord restores my soul. And just that phrase, that one sentence, because that's not the whole verse, but he restores my soul. It just gives me such peace, because you think of restoration. What does that mean? It means being brought back into a relationship with God. It means just being made whole, mm-hmm. and
renewed.
And my soul, my inner being, the real me in relationship with God. And that phrase just hits me as something beautiful, restoring my soul.
I'm so glad you shared that, because don't we like go do our little pedicures and get our hair done to get restored physically?
Yeah.
But God is restoring our soul. That's good. That's good. Oh, Marilyn, you do a good job.
Thanks.
You just always remind me. And you know what? That's what I love about fellowship around the Word.
Yep.
Because, you know, each of us did our homework in our own little quiet place, and then we come together and new things spring forth, things that I didn't think about, or something new from an old psalm. Mm. You know, that just hit me afresh when you said that, restoring my soul. And John 3:16 and Psalm 23, these are so commonly, like, so known. To go back and really lift something like that out and hear it new is pretty special. So thank you for doing that.
And to piggyback on that Psalm 23, I'm going to do a different translation, though. The New Living Translation that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have no lack."
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about lacking nothing, no thing. So whatever it is that I need, I already have it.
Mm.
It's already in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Spirit of God that dwells within me gives me all that I need. I have confidence. I am comforted. I have peace. I have patience. I am long-suffering. I have the power to tell the Son to stop, and it has to obey. Because the Spirit of God that dwells within me, I have what I need. There is no lack. And so when we get away from that and we meander around, woe it's me, because we're in a dry place. We're outside of the fact. We are letting ourselves wander around like they did in the wilderness, in a very dry place, away from the power of God that's already in you. Can't turn on the light unless you're plugged in. The power needs to be plugged in. But what you're doing is allowing the glory of God to shine from the inside. And sometimes we just lose that. We lose the fact in our business, in our depression, let's call it for what it is, being beat down by either work or man, children, other stressors, medical concerns, we lose who we are. We are children of God. On the way home, we don't live here. This is temporary. And that's what we need to bring it back to. Bring it back to, who am I? I'm accepted by God. I'm fulfilled in God. I'm complete in Him. I have no lack. I am His child. Bring that back in. And when we bring it back in, it's like, okay, take a deep breath and say, okay, Father, you and I can handle anything that comes on me today.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then you shut everybody else out and everything else out, because now you have a different attitude, because your mind is being renewed by the fact that you are connected to the source that created everything. Nothing is bigger than God.
Preach it.
If we bring that back in, if we draw it back in to the start and say, okay, whew, let me get it together. Then everything, it just looks different. The world looks different. And I'm saying this because I've been there. When my son died, I had to get myself back up. I had to bring it in and recognize that this is not an end for me. It's a new beginning if I allow it. If I clean my mind and not focus on the fact that his life ended, but keep myself clear and let him use me. I'm comforted by the scriptures.
And what you needed for that was already in you, exactly. As you said. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I have the peace that comes from the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for my sisters who were there with me as I had to cry through sometimes in the midst of teaching Sunday school. But they were there and they helped me to keep it together. Because you just don't know what you know until you've been through the flood, been through the rain, been through the storm, been through a death, been through things that will break you down emotionally. And then you go, wow, that was there all the time? Mm-hmm. But God's word is the power that keeps us together. And the fact that one day we'll hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And the rewards we're getting for being soul winners and what we're going to have when we get to heaven, that's what keeps me going. Comfort comes from scripture. Peace comes from scripture. His praise will always be in my lips. He is my protector, amen? Mm-hmm. He does punish those who hurt us. He is patient with us and long-suffering. He protects us. His presence is what keeps me going. And he's persistent in trying to bring us back. We were wandering around doing our own thing, big and bad enough to do whatever we want to do. And he said, okay, I'll let you go. But so far. And then he just brings us back. He's persistent in bringing us back.
And consistent.
Yes.
Yep, from love.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because like any good parent, you want what's best for your child, and you keep saying the same things over and over and over. And yes, they do hear you. And yes, you will find out eventually that everything you have said, everything you have taught, believe my sister, they have heard it. And one day you'll say, wow, praise be to God, all that stuff I went through was not for naught. Mm-hmm. They heard it and they felt your heart.
And it's up to God in them, same as it's up to God in me. Mm. Like, this actually comes again, what we were talking about before. If I think that I'm the only one that can teach them anything, then I'm obsessed with self, not putting my confidence in God. Right? Like, I was wayward. I went astray. God pulled me back. Not because of something that anybody did or said. I love my parents, not because of them. Because of himself. What you're saying. He draws me back. So this is a problem I have. Thinking that I'm the only one who can teach my kids anything.
It's not a problem. It's you being a mother.
It's mom.
I've had two boys and I was the same way. And I had to learn to let it go. And God has taught me that I am daddy and I got this.
Yeah. And he loves them so much more than we even could.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
I know. But when the alarm's going off for the fourth time and she's not out of bed, I forget. I'm human. Oh, that was good, Viv. Thanks for bringing the word. All right. So I did a little fun activity in the homework. Because in the world, sometimes you hear this expression, elevator pitch, which is a way of describing your business or your product in a way that's quick. And the reason they call it an elevator pitch is because it's how much time you would have with a person on an elevator. So it's super quick. An elevator pitch is not a PowerPoint presentation. It's a quick, let me boil this down to its most fundamental value and say it with efficiency. And we, as a group, even in these couple hours, but also in the preparation, spent a lot of time in the Psalms. And I think we've touched on probably the things we're going to say in our elevator pitch, but I thought it would be fun for us this time to sell it. You know what I mean? Like, if you had to sell the product that was the Psalms to a person who's never read them or doesn't read them very often or has never even read the Bible, what would you say? Did you write anything down? Did you take my little challenge or were you like, that's silly talk?
I missed that page on the homework.
Okay. Did you? Okay. Then did you see it?
I can do it off the cuff if you want.
All right, go.
So my elevator pitch. You will know how valuable you are to God when you spend time in the Psalms.
That's good. Mine's longer. Yeah, but yours is good. Okay, I'm going to read mine. I wrote it down. The Psalms are a rich tapestry of praise and worship, caution, confidence, and trust, faithfulness, and comfort that gives any believer, new or seasoned, a pattern of lifelong relationship with God. It's not all roses. It's not all lament. It's real life and still as relevant today as it was when it was written. Yours was shorter. You had one floor. I needed like three floors. Bing! Anyway, I think we hit that note. I do think we hit those notes throughout the time we were talking to each other, but I also like to just bring it back because you just never know where someone who's listening to this or participating in this, where they are in their life. And we all shared how there were nuances that even, and I'm sitting with a group of very seasoned believers today. And even in our experience, we're like, oh, that's new, fresh on me right now. And the Psalms and God's word overall has a way of doing that. You know, Hebrews says that God's word is living and active, and it is. And it speaks to your heart and your circumstances, even though it was written thousands of years ago, because the truths are the same. Human truths are the same. The truth about God is the same. And so it's totally relevant. But I hope we did a good job. I hope we did good service to the Psalms today. And there were even some that I wrote down that I'm going to take up and talk to my girls about things that are happening in their lives right now. And I'm like, oh, that's totally relevant and applicable. Ones that you guys said, which again is the blessing of fellowship, because We can get a lot from our quiet time with the Lord. We sure can get a lot with fellowship around the Word.
Can I make just one more observation about the Psalms that whether it was David or do we say Moses had written?
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Or whoever contributed to the Psalms. One thing I noticed consistently was that they all got naked.
Mm.
They got naked before God. And they just put it all out there.
They did.
Right?
Transparent.
And they confessed and they said, forgive me. And in the end, they all said the same thing. You're God. I believe you. I trust you. So that's an example for us.
It is. And it's hard to do, to be vulnerable and transparent like that.
They all just put it out there.
Yeah.
But
these are the patriarchs of the faith. These are men, some named, some unnamed. There's some Psalms that we don't know who wrote them. These are leaders for us, not just because they wrote the Psalms, but because their whole lives are chronicled in the Bible. And we know that their lives were lives of faith and lives where their faith produced glory to God. And so we can't just assume we should jump up on a soapbox and be able to glorify God. A big component of that, and we do it here. It's hard mm-hmm. sometimes. You just shared something really hard, Viv, is to be transparent and be vulnerable and to say, in my brokenness, in my difficulties, in my weakness, he is glorified. Mm. You know, I don't stand up there and say, God is great, God is great, God is great. And I'm telling you, God is great. And I'm great too, to tell you. It's the vulnerability that shows God's greatness. You know, the humility, the confession, the awareness of your sin. That's what brings, that's my dog. That's what brings the gospel to life. Who needs a savior if you're not doing anything wrong? And this vulnerability is a great point. That's a good point. Thanks for bringing that up. Okay, so read the Psalms. There's a reading guide on studywithfriends.org. The homework is on studywithfriends.org. Just if you go in the search box and type in Psalms, you'll find, I think, everything. So it should all be together. Any other closing words, comments? Okay, let's pray it out. Thank you, Lord. You always are faithful to our time here, and we just ask humbly, God, that you will be glorified from it. Even in this time, you have been glorified in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of who you are and what you can do, the promises that you give, the caution that you send, and that we can be confident in you. We can take comfort in you. Lord, you are all things. And like Viv said, we have what we need because we have you. Thank you so much for that. Oh, that is, if we could just settle into that, Lord, what a game changer that is, that you are everything we need. Thank you for bringing us your word today. Thank you for preserving the Psalms so that we can be blessed. We ask that this time would be a blessing to others and especially to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's word helps me to know him and know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, as Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. Let me say that again. No amount is too small. This month, we're hoping to gather 10 new monthly donors. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.